Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati on a Tuesday in the football season. Maz, you know what that means?
Yep. B-B-T. Big Boy Tuesday.
Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal and the Las Vegas Review Journal. Is that right?
This is correct.
Okay, we'll get to that later on, big fella. We'll get to that later on.
Big Boy Takes Vegas.
We'll do Vegas on your own time. But let's talk Patriots. Let's talk any leftover thoughts from the weekend game. And really, more importantly, what I really want to dig into today is the Patriots roster and the condition of the Patriots roster and, by extension, the payroll and how the Ben Watson decision plays into that. And any moves they can make or not make and how it plays into that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Leading off with the thought of, or the news that Ben Watson was released yesterday because Bill Belichick says they don't have the roster spot. What are your thoughts on that, that there is no roster spot for Ben Watson?
I think it's ridiculous. I mean, they just brought Jordan Richards back, who was on the street, who they got rid of, who basically they traded him for some used footballs. I'm just using him as an example, but you know, there are plenty on the roster, and we talked about this during training camp, roster cutdowns, when I kept bringing up the possibility of some veterans being cut or traded because there are younger players who might be ready to play, you could save some money, things like that. And Bill just went straight veterans. He just said, you know, we traded away Keon Crossan, he released there was somebody else that he released at cornerback.
He traded Duke Dawson. Anyway, he
can traded Duke Dawson. So, you know, all those decisions, the Patriots have been making decisions. And look, it's Bill's team. He's, you know, he won the Super Bowl last year. They go to the Super Bowl every year. So he deserves a lot of benefit of the doubt, obviously. But he made decisions this year, especially with this roster, to be more veteran, maybe to go for it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's to get Brady one more and then say, see you, Tom. You know, thanks for the memories. I don't know, but they're certainly.
Well, and so then wouldn't be keeping Ben Watson play into what you're talking about? Why is there no room for Ben Watson if there's room for other veterans?
I guess. I mean, I didn't think his roster spot was, you know, assured. And I didn't, like, you know, Ryan Izzo is a good player, but, you know, would Watson have been better for this team? I don't know. But I do think that they made a lot of decisions, and they've done this for now 2 or 3 years now. And look, the proof is in the pudding. It's worked for the team, so it's hard to criticize them. But they've made decisions to go more veteran.
Okay, so and you're saying all those veteran decisions have created
a squeeze. Cost you a lot of money. We've been talking about it for a couple of years. Last year they had to make moves just to get underneath the salary cap to finish the season.
So you do think it's a money move and not a roster move?
Oh, yeah. I mean, It's both. I mean, no. I mean, what Bill said is just, you know, it's not the full truth. They need money to get through the end of the year or to make deals. So Watson became expendable.
To me, it's all about that. And again, if you want me to weigh the Watson move, if you want me to say, well, we got to wait it out to see what they do. As we were discussing yesterday, if they make a deal and they bring in Emmanuel Sanders, am I okay with it? Of course. Yes, absolutely. But to me, the whole thing just reeks of they gave me money to Antonio Brown, who blew up on them. And as a result, now they have to look for some flexibility down the road. And in order to do that, they've had to compete with two veteran pass catchers. So, and I add Brown in as a third. So, again, to me, bringing Antonio Brown in cost him three players, Greg.
So, you're talking Demaryius Thomas?
Yep. It cost him Brown. It cost him Demaryius Thomas, who they traded after they signed Brown. And now it has cost them Ben Watson because they need help at receiver. They're looking for help at receiver. And I'd be shocked at this stage if by the trading deadline, which is now 3 weeks away exactly, right? 3 weeks from today, that they don't add a receiver. I think it's 100% about that. I do.
I mean, I understand your point. I mean, I just don't think Demaryius Thomas, the last time I looked, he had only played 7 snaps for the Jets.
He had 4 catches for 45 yards or something.
Oh, he did? Okay, so now he's playing. I just think with him, I think the Patriots weren't sure when he was going to be 100%, and they didn't have time to wait. I don't think they were, you know, possibly the biggest fans of his, so it's hard for me to indict them for that move. But, you know, your overall point is correct. I mean, they basically, unless they go through a lot of hoops here, and that's, you know, taking Devin McCourty's base salary and, you know, prorating it X amount of years and extending Kyle Van Noy, which would be fine. And also, I think the break glass thing, if they really want to do something, you're going to have to do something with Dante Hightower's contract. And I don't know how much you want to be doing that. That's going to be the tipping point if they do something big, whether they do something with Hightower's contract or not.
So you think the cap crunch is real?
I've only been talking about it for 2 years. It was real last year. I forgot to bring in my cocktail napkin so you could tell me how, you know, they're not in cap. I loved the pretzel twisting out of you yesterday. It was so delicious. You saying for years to the Patriots fans, you people twisting yourself in a pretzel about what the team did. Yesterday was, you were like a Lithuanian rhythmic gymnast trying to like not say the cap is real when you're talking about real things with the cap.
For example. Well, no, what do you mean?
I didn't cap space can be maneuvered, as we all know, in a number of different ways.
Yes, and it can, but the Patriots, until last year, never did any of those things because they were smart with the cap. I'm not talking about that now.
Okay, but I never said they were in cap trouble. I said, for those of you who want to believe in the Easter Bunny and we want to play this game, then we can play the game. They can figure it out if they want to, and they can figure it out next year if they want to. When did I ever say anything otherwise than that?
Pretzel twisting yesterday.
Ownership excuse. Ownership excuse if they blame the cap. Ownership excuse.
No, it becomes real when you mismanage the cap.
Go ahead, give me the cocktail napkin. But so what I am interested in, though, is if you think they did mismanage it. How did they mismanage it?
Well, I mean, the number one thing is you got to go back to the draft. I mean, the past 3 or 4 years, whatever it is, where they, you know, they're not getting first and second round draft picks. Those players should become starters for you within a year or two, and when they don't. And we're even dealing with that this year, you know, with the, you know, hopefully Isaiah Wynn gets back, but, you know, who knows? Harry also. I still keep out hope for the last couple of draft classes, but, you know, when those guys don't become starters and your young talent on the team that's on the field, then you got to start bringing in veterans that are more expensive, and that's really what they've done. And all the talk about the Patriots being, they've seen an inefficiency in the system. Like, no, that's not what it is. What it is, they went through a little rut drafting. They needed to cover their behind by signing veterans who are more expensive and also injury prone, and then all of a sudden it starts going on top of each other.
I mean, the big one was 2017. Right? That was the big one. For crying out loud, their first pick in that draft was in the third round, Derek Rivers, bust. Antonio Garcia, bust. Dietrich Wise might as well be a bust at this stage. I mean, I know he played better over the weekend, but they got nothing out of that draft, really. Nothing. So
last year wasn't any better. I mean, Sony Michel, and hopefully he wins a player if he stays on the field. But I mean, Duke Dawson, they had to get rid of for nothing. Juwan Bentley is not the same player, even though he could be in a couple years' time. All these guys.
So this topic interests me. But I'm not going to back down on the cap thing. And if they trade for Stephon Diggs or someone like that, and like, salary cap space just appears like it usually does, then I want you back
yes,
in
but
here.
But then they're going to have to pay the piper.
When? I keep hearing that.
Just like they are this year. You know,
how are they paying the piper?
Next year they're going to have to.
How do we know? Until they can't bring a player in because of the cap, then I'm sorry. It's just, we can't because of the cap. It's just an excuse. I want to see it.
You guys are both missing the point if you ask me. It'll all be fine if they never signed Antonio Brown. They'd be fine.
That was their petty cash for the season, which they jumped through hoops to create.
Here's the pretzel twisting. Is that, if maybe that's what you're hearing, is that I want to criticize him for the Antonio Brown move because that was money wasted and it's gumming things up, but yet I don't believe in the cap. So I can't lose my mind over the $5 million to Antonio Brown, because if you give me a cocktail napkin, big fella, give me one of your big boy napkins and a pen, I'll come up with the $5 million in about 2 minutes. And we'll be fine, and you'll be fine next year, and you'll be fine the next year. So that's I am sort of betwixt and between. I want to criticize the team for the Antonio Brown money, but I don't believe in the cap.
Okay,
so how do I how do I wedge myself in there? That's what you're hearing.
Because they still gave Antonio Brown $5 million real dollars that affect both. Okay, so they could fix the cap very easily.
There's three things that you can do to get cap space, but there are going to be ramifications next year.
You can also cut players. I'll give you five cuts off the top that ain't going to buy, that won't make a hair of difference to anyone. But anyway, I don't want to gum that. I am interested in, though. Jimmy just brought in a stack of napkins. Excellent. And I got a pen. All right. And when the computer logs in, I'll give you your $5 million in about a second. But hold on. Where was I? Oh, the young player thing I am interested in. Because we spent time on this in the preseason. And that is, do they have a good young core? They do need, if not for cap purposes, just for roster development purposes, a young core coming up. And I felt they had one in the preseason. Now we're 5 weeks in. Do they have a young core? Do they? And let me ask this question again. I asked it in the preseason. Who's their best young player? Who's their best young player? Murray, who's the best young player on this team?
Right now, probably Jake Bailey.
And I would agree.
The punter. It's the punter.
Who's the best young player on this team?
Do you want my answer right now?
Oh, God.
I think I'd have to go with Chase Winovich.
Okay, so
I'm going 25 or under. That's sort of the way they view NFL teams.
You can make a good argument for him.
I think that's fair. He doesn't start.
I think he could. He's another guy. They kept like John Simon and Dietrich Wise, and they brought in Michael Bennett, who doesn't even play. And instead of just playing Chase Winovich, or instead of releasing somebody at cornerback, you know, just play Juwan Williams. So, you know, those type of things they decided not to do. And look, Bill can do whatever he wants, but that's sort of the trade-off.
Okay, so I just think it's a good time to ask it because they have an alleged salary cap crunch, which I'm going to solve for you here in the break. They've, you know,
DSJ's already done it for you. You can just copy it from there.
But the no, I'll do it much easier in like 10 words. I read his thing. Oh my God, lengthy. It's much simpler than that. But do they have a good young roster? Who's their young core? Do they have a young core? Do they? When we asked in the offseason, I think we came up with Sony Michel's their best
player.
We
were excited about the young core.
Would you say that Sony Michel's their best young player?
No.
He might be in contention for it, but that's not saying much.
To me, anyone that you can make an argument for is on the defensive side of the ball. So it's going to be Winovich, J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, guys like that.
I concur. Only one of those guys start-ish. Does J.C. Jackson start? You know, I mean, so it's like, and I agree, those are good young players. But do they have a good young core? And is that part of what we're talking about here? And does it tie into what we're talking about here? And who's their best young player? And the fact that we have to go punter, or we have to think about it.
Kid is a weapon, though.
Oh, my God, he's unbelievable. I mean, look, I love the guy.
I love him.
I agree. But doesn't that say something? So let's pick this up on the other side with your calls at 617-779-0985.
Cap space can be maneuvered, as we all know, in a number of different ways. So
stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
But Tom, you know as well as I do that there's still a lot of things to be ironed out in the offense.
Yeah, there definitely are. You know, we realize that, and we're trying to get those things corrected. And I said last week, you know, we've had a lot of moving parts, and I think consistency is a big part of putting our best performance out there. And I think even last game is kind of a microcosm of our season's been. It's just been inconsistent. And our first half wasn't very good, but our second half was a lot better. And I think the level of performance is all about how many guys can consistently do the right thing and execute at a high level. And we have a very high standard. So the one great thing about what's happening with our team is our defense is playing incredible.
Yes, it is, Tom. Key is how many guys can consistently do the right thing. So, again, he's complaining about not enough guys doing the right thing, or he's just...
Oh, it's another loaded question, too, right? I mean, that one got emailed last night, right ahead of the interview. Let's see here. Okay. Tom, you know as well as I do, you're playing with talentless crap on the offense, and they better get better if they're going to make you happy. Isn't that right, Tom?
Well, and it's the two-minute answer that is completely unnecessary because what you want to hear from Brady is actually in the question.
But it to me, it continues. And when I say it, meaning the pity party or him sort of tacitly, Tom Curran wrote that he's rattling the bars is how he described it. Do you know where the Patriots rank in points per game this year?
Oh, they're in the top five in the league in the
third. They're third. They have the third-ranked offense in the league, points per game.
Well, the defense gets some of those points.
They did get some of them, but they're still the third. They've scored the third most points in the league per game.
Right.
And he's carrying on like, so he ranks lower than that, but the team ranks third. So what's he really concerned with here? Him or the team?
I won't say
and it. Why?
I won't say it.
And why?
Because again, his role is being diminished a little. So that's, he finds that frustrating, right? They don't need him as much. And that's a hard, you know, that's a hard thing to accept. We all like to feel needed. We all like to feel we're an integral part of the operation. So he finds that part of it frustrating. I get that. I mean, that part I get.
Okay, again.
He just can't, you know, at the moment, he can't separate himself from it.
Bedard doesn't like my what I did, but I did do it on the cocktail napkin. I came up with $4.5 million right off the top just by cutting Michael Bennett. And not that you want to cut Michael Bennett, but he's playing like 20% of the snaps?
25% of the snaps this past weekend.
He played a quarter of the game.
I think he played like 15 snaps, 14 snaps, whatever it was.
And again, just at first blanche, based off the website you told me to go to, you save $4.5 million on the cap if you cut him now, which is, you know, almost what you need, which is the Antonio Brown money back. And I haven't really even dug into other guys that I could do or restructure. So the money could be there easily.
2.5 on Bennett.
It's not
a net cap savings.
Not according to the site you told me to go to. Well, so there's 2.5. I'll find another player if you want.
Sorry, you need it spelled out for you.
No, no, I'm sorry. I used the website you told me to go to. And I'm sorry that I did it on the napkin before I even went to your site. So
I thought you were going to actually do it for real. Is that the secret
Capspace website?
No, it's not, Jimmy.
It's overthecap.com. I went to SpoTrack, but it's all roughly
there's a super secret one that Bedard has access to.
There's more coming. This Watson thing, there's got to be another shoe to drop. It can't be as simple as just cutting him and not bringing in another guy. If it is, it's dumb.
So let's not gum up with this conversation. Let's just agree to disagree on the value of the cap.
Okay, Mr. Pretzel.
Should Ben Watson be on the team? Meaning, you know they could fit him on the team if they wanted. You could fit him on the team. Okay? Should he be on the team?
Yes.
Over Cody Kessler or Jordan Richards or any of these guys at the bottom of the roster? Should he be on the team?
Yes. Just, they need a third tight end. You know, right now they only have two. Matt Lacoste, you know, basically has a high ankle sprain every week and can barely get through every game. Ryan Izzo is really an undersized move tight end. Every other position, I mean, at cornerback, they go like 12 deep. You know, on the defensive line, you know, they keep Dietrich Wise and Landon Roberts at linebacker around to play like 12 snaps a game, yet they only have two tight ends, and they can't even make it through a game usually with one. And so why wouldn't you have a back? Just to have – and I think this is why Watson was here.
So
he was sort of like the fail-safe.
So you say they need a – third tight end. I say they need a first tight end.
I like Lacoste, if he ever gets healthy.
But to your point, like, I just look at it as much as, you know, they need pass catchers. And so they decided that Lacoste and Izzo were going to be enough or good enough and that they were going to free up the money and now they're going to go get something else. To me, that's got to be what they're doing here. Nothing else justifies it.
And one of the things you thought at the top of your head might be Rob Gronkowski. Cross that off the list. He just signed with Fox and is going to be a commentator in game starting Thursday night with you, which I find interesting and good for him. I always thought someone should give him a shot at that.
I'm eager to see how it goes.
Me too.
And I think it's good that they're starting him with the Patriots because it's, you know, it's a soft landing for him. And
damn straight.
He knows the team inside and out.
Are they just going to leave him chained out on that outdoor little field that they have out there and like just make Gronk do demonstrations and stuff?
I don't know. I hope he's in the game in the booth. I think that's a good role for him. I think he should definitely get a shot at that. I think he has a better chance to be good at that versus acting or whatever. Cross Gronkowski. So they're not saving the money for him. Who are they saving the money for?
There's got to be a trade coming.
One thing you could look at if they got rid of Watson, maybe they go for Tyler Eifert out of Cincinnati, who is really, he does not make much money this year. They could afford him. Yeah, they could afford him right now. And that would give you a third tight end, a much better passing option. But then again, he's another guy who he gets hurt all the time. So, but he would make a lot of sense in this offense. When he's healthy, he's one of the best pass catching tight ends in the league.
So, look, I like Eifert. I mean, you know, again, he can't see on the field, but it's got to be more than him, too. There's got to be a receiver in there. The two areas on this team in which they are most deficient are offensive line and pass catchers. Right, and I'd say pass catcher just to include tight end.
So I agree that receiver's on top of tight end for me. I'd rather have a receiver than a tight end and make do with these guys. I'd rather scheme the tight end opened, which is what they do now. You know, and a lot of tight ends, frankly, are just schemed open. They're going against a linebacker or a bad coverage safety, or they're the fourth option, and they just get wide. So you scheme the tight end open and get a pass catcher who can beat coverage. That, to me, would be my choice. So your thoughts, as promised. Here's David Lynn. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, hi. Real quick, Matt, I agree with you. The cap is crap. And one name I haven't heard is Mohamed Sanu from Atlanta. They suck pretty bad, and they're not going anywhere. So
okay, how
not?
Old is Mohamed Sanu?
Doesn't matter. He's a Rutgers guy. He'd fit.
It's got to be in his 30s, right? I mean, he's been around, and he's been diminished there because of the emergence of Ridley over the last couple
he's
of years.
30.
So,
I thought he was older.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like Sanu is faded a little, but it might be they're not using him as much. But he's more of a possession guy than a
fine.
Correct.
Yeah, no, which I like. I like the fact that he's a guy that you can throw to with some sort of regularity. And
didn't they sniff around him before?
Yes. Yeah, and he's got some size to him too, right? I mean, 6'2". He's not a thick 6'2" per se, but
I think the deal that the Patriots need to make, and I think we were talking about this previously, and then I think Bill Barnwell brought it up, is you go for Manny Sanders and you give the Broncos a little bit more, maybe that first round pick that they want to give away but can't because everybody knows it's going to be 32nd, which is really a second round pick. Give him an upgraded pick, even though he's in a contract year, just and tell the Broncos to give him a signing bonus,
right,
which drops what the Patriots require. That's the deal that they should make. I mean, he would be a perfect fit for this offense. They've wanted him before. They gave him that restricted offer sheet, which all they had to do was offer a little bit more money, and they would have had him, but for some reason they didn't. And so again, he helps in a lot of areas.
And what Greg is talking about is it's sort of akin to, in hockey or baseball, the trading team picking up money on the salary.
Yep.
In football, what you do is you convert to signing bonus and you give it to him before he leaves, which, again, you can get them to do the higher the draft pick. But yep, I'd rather them restructure other guys.
And, agreed.
And, you know, don't you there's other places to do it. You shouldn't have to give away a first-round pick for money. Reach into your pocket. And trust me, Greg, it's more the real money than the cap money. Here's Jim and Everett. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, I wonder what Greg thinks about Michael Crabtree's out there, 32 years old, and he caught 54 passes from Lamar Jackson last year.
So he's on the street, right?
Yeah, he is.
He is.
And he's been on the street for like 2 weeks?
I mean, I haven't watched him in much in the past year, but I love Crabtree. I mean, he's a vet. He knows how to get. He's not as quick as Deion Branch, but he reminds me of Deion Branch, where he knows how to get open. He catches everything. He's smart. He blocks. He's tough. He's okay. All this stuff. He'd be perfect for them.
I like him. Why has he been sitting on the street?
Good question. And you know what? He's had trouble finding jobs the last couple of years.
And you can make that contract be whatever it is. You start clean slate.
Yep, absolutely.
You're not picking anything up. You're not dealing with anything. You can give a minimum with bonuses, not likely to be earned, blah, blah, blah. You can do the whole thing. Manage that however you want. And have they made a call on him?
I don't know. You know, I wonder if there's something going on there. And when I say meaning with him, like a guy like that, either he lost a step, he's not catching the ball anymore, or there's some off-field issue that everybody knows about.
Has to be.
There's a locker room guy. There's something there, right? He's the guy that got into the things with the Taqib Tlaib ripping off his gold chain.
That was a while ago, though. He's a lot more.
But all I'm saying is there's something there.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Go ahead. Say it again.
Bad locker room guy.
According to who?
Me. And the people I talk to.
Attaboy.
Bedard.
Yeah, what are the issues?
The issue you just mentioned there. And
oh, hold on, your source is our intern?
No, he just started talking for no reason.
Oh, I'll take it. Like, yeah. I don't have a very high standard when it comes to sources. I'll just take anything. And throw
he
it
used
the
to
wall.
Be a big attitude problem, but that from what I know, that hasn't been an issue in years.
Okay, coming up next, three up, three down. Every week, this is Rich. Every week, Greg Bedard brings in his charts. I bring in his clipboard, but because he's too cheap to buy the clipboard, all he usually has is his sheet here with all of his markings and all the grades and all this stuff that he usually has. I'm like, you're too cheap to flip the $329 for a clipboard.
I'd make your new employer in Vegas buy you one.
Guess what came in the mail this week?
Clipboard.
Guess what came in the mail this week?
Clipboard for the big boy.
From Scott in Maine. Dear Felger,
love you, Scott.
Please give this clipboard to Greg Bedard. You bitch at the big boy for not having one. Enjoy. And he sent, and we've taken out of the wrapper, but a brand new clipboard that had to have cost him at least $1.89 from Staples.
Yeah, give me that thing so I can break it over my knee.
Okay, so thank you, Scott in Maine. The clipboard is out. Three up, three down after the update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island. the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Now, it's time for Three Up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And Three Down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three Up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three Down.
He sucks. He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, three studs, three duds. Bedard has his clipboard back. Thanks to Scott in Maine.
Yep.
Appreciate it, Scott. Great call. Good job. Who's your number one star? And Maz weighs in on this as well. Greg Bedard does it from the All-22 in the coaches' film. Maz does it from Yo Couch. So we get two different perspectives on the thing.
I have an idyllic memory.
Your number one star for the game there, Greg.
Dante Hightower. He was all over the place, you know, two sacks. Two stuffed runs. I mean, he was impactful all over the place. They need to get this guy more rest. Like, I'd be okay with him taking every other game off or like load management for like the
big
games.
Keep him that fresh.
Did you see? He was flying all over the place in that game. I mean, he got shot out of a cannon. I thought he was great and he needs to keep it up.
Hightower. I mean, it was a runaway. I'm not going to belabor you with the details. Hightower.
Second star.
Julian Edelman. You know, it wasn't perfect. He had a drop, penalty, stuff like that. But, man, that guy, he's incredible. And some of the catches he made, I heard you talking about the couple ones on the sideline, the diving catches when he's got sore ribs or whatever he's got going on. I mean, he's incredible. And I hate to think where this offense would be if he is out for the year, because in past years they could deal with it. They can't deal with it now.
Well, this is getting boring. Julian Edelman, let's move along.
Third star.
Tie between Collins and Van Noy. I mean, they're both impactful. I couldn't pick between them. I still think Van Noy is the player of the year on defense to this point. I know a lot of people love Jamie Collins because he's flashy and he does a lot of different things, but I think down for down, pound for pound, Kyle Van Noy is the best player in this defense so far.
Okay, just to interject, there's more savings there to be had if you restructured him now, gave him his extension now, and took his base salary.
Look at it. Got him doing now.
All in on Van Noy. But no, take his base salary down, and there is some more savings for you right there.
Just, I mean, that's a layup, right?
But again, that's real money out the door in terms of a signing bonus, which is the real issue on the team, Greg, as it usually is.
You think the world's going to end after this season, that there's no next season.
I mean, just quickly on that point, you're going to need Hightower or Van Noy next year, right?
Yes.
You can't let them both go.
Right.
Do you know how much dead money they have on Brady next year?
Not off the top of my head, no. $20 million?
Yeah.
Okay, so there, I just gave you your number.
My third up, Danny Shelton. Just for you, Bedard.
Yeah.
I picked a fat guy in the middle of the defensive
line.
Pretty
good.
Well, I thought they were good on the interior on the line in this game.
We've done the three up, and I think we just set a record. No Tooney and no Lawrence Guy. I can't remember the last time we did a three up with the big fella.
Tooney was a possibility.
But he wasn't.
There you go.
But he's out. Three duds, better yet. Who is the number one dud for the Patriots?
Marshall Newhouse. Two sacks allowed. He had a rough go of it. Five total quarterback pressures. Tough one.
He's on the left side of the line, right?
Correct.
Okay. I mean,
what does that mean?
Well, no, I thought most of the problems in this game were on the right side of the line.
Well, I mean, you could easily pick Marcus Cannon if you
Okay, I did.
Yep.
In fact, I picked Cannon and Mason in tandem. I picked the right side of the offensive line as a tandem in this game because I thought they sucked.
Second dud, Bedard.
Marcus Cannon. All of his bad stuff, I will say this, all of his bad stuff happened in the first half, and he was getting jacked up and shoved around and all that stuff, including Marcus Cannon had a play, and I clipped the video. Sony Michel had a 3-yard run in the red zone. Marcus Cannon was the one guy to pass block. Everybody else was run blocking. He obviously ran the wrong play. I've never seen that before. But he was, I didn't have him for any errors in the second half, so he got better.
So this is a little unfair because it's been piling up with me over 2 or 3 weeks. But Josh Gordon, he looked
fair.
So ordinary to me as a receiver, so ordinary. And if you're not going to be able to get the first down on a pass in traffic, that, you know, to me, that's the whole reason you're on the team. I know it was a good tackle, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole point is he's a big receiver that can drag guys to the first down marker. If he's not going to do that, then I sort of wonder why he's even here.
Third dud there, Bedard.
Stephon Gilmore. sort of been building a little bit,
yes,
and it's
agree.
Nothing to panic about because this is just Stephon Gilmore. We know by now his focus sometimes wanes in some of these games where they're not that challenged, and he knows Colt McCoy is terrible. But I'm sure he's going to be lights out on Thursday night because he is a prime time player, clutch player, but he wasn't very good in this game.
Maz?
Would not be complete if we didn't have the place kicker on there. Mike Nugent. I added Mike Nugent. Again, it was only one miss just to be consistent. I had Goskowski on there the last 2 or 3 weeks because he was missing extra points. This guy came in and the transition was seamless,
but
need I say.
Now you love Goskowski. Is that what I heard last week? What's going on with you?
Pretzel twist.
Seriously.
Holy smokes.
It's all relative.
You wanted to ride the guy out on rails for years, and all of a sudden he's gone now, and you're like, I miss Steven.
I do, because everyone else sucks worse. Greg, starting with Nugent.
Quickly, we had a little disagreement on this yesterday. Greg helped settle it. Give me an overall team grade for the Patriots on Sunday in Washington. Go ahead.
I'm going to say a B-. I didn't think it was terrible. The offense...
When you win 33-7...
I mean, the defense only gave up one play. I mean, they were great. And in the second half, I thought the offense was awesome. They finally found some stuff. And so... I didn't think it was that bad, but boy, the Redskins are terrible.
When you win 33-7, that's the benchmark now. I mean, we can put them against Newton North High if you want. I mean, they can pile up a big score there. It doesn't mean they're going to play well. I just, the Redskins blow. That team blows. They're in contention for the number one pick. That's like one of the worst teams in the league.
Long commercial free segment with your calls at 617-779-0985 is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
For sports, Felger Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, I know you always say the record that matters the most to you is the team's record, and you're 5-0, but you moved past yesterday Brett Favre. You're just a few yards away from passing Peyton Manning on the all-time passing yardage list. As you pass these milestones and perhaps the touchdown record later on this season, what does it mean to you other than in the team context? Because we know your team's first and foremost.
Yeah, I think having a lot of perspective on things like this is where I like to come from. And I don't believe that football is an individual sport. So any individual accomplishment, to me, is always a team accomplishment.
Went back and listened to that whole interview.
That's another loaded one.
Again, a lot on the records. But it's the standard thing where Gray asks it to get it out there, and Brady gets to play the good guy.
That's the next one on the list here from Tom. Here we go. Tom, as you pass these milestones, don't you think it'd be appropriate if your coach and ownership gave you a little bit more appreciation for everything you've done for the Patriots? Like, that's all that sounded like.
Well, you're about to pass. You passed Favre. You're about to pass Manning. Like, that's how they get it out there, because Brady doesn't want to say that himself. Gray says it. So they spent about 5-6 minutes on the record thing. it was a big chunk of the interview on the records and these records and what records are good and what records do you like and what records did you value growing up and what funny the records that he loved was the home run thing with McGuire and Sosa. But anyway,
you've passed Favre. You're about to pass Manning. Why can't they give you any help and show you some appreciation, Tom?
But anyway, he gets to say, nah, it's about the team and the win. And so he gets to play the good guy, and Gray gets what it's out there. I'm surprised we're talking so much about where he ranks on these lists. Because
who even knows the numbers?
Who gives two poops?
I don't know the numbers. Again, they popped up during the broadcast the other night. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, what does it matter? He's the best quarterback ever. Fact. End of discussion. Like, the details of it don't really interest me because you can manipulate the details.
Exactly.
But the fact is, there's never been anybody better to play the position. There's only one guy to me that's even in the conversation, maybe two, but it's really about Montana. That's it. And after that, to me, everyone else is playing for, third or fourth or fifth. It's Brady. Brady and then Montana, and then you can fill out the rest.
So who's counting where he's on these lists?
By the way, did I hear you correctly? Were you saying that Brady was holding the ball?
I thought he held the ball. Yes. I thought he held the ball in this game.
He did, but I don't think it's for the terrible reasons that you brought up yesterday about stats preservation and stuff like that. For whatever reason, I don't know what it was.
I brought up some nefarious reasons, but I did say I don't know the reason. I do know that he held the ball more in this game.
He did, but it was for some reason Josh McDaniels and Tom wanted to I don't know if they thought it was a real weakness of the Redskins or they just said, you know, we need to look deep maybe to set up something later. But there was in the first half, Tom was definitely looking deep a lot. When he could have, if he wanted to just pump up his accuracy stats, he could have just dumped it down to running backs and tight ends like all day. But for some reason, he wasn't taking that. I don't know if it was, you know, for it to pay off down the road or whatnot. But he was holding the ball a little bit. But I didn't – there were very few plays where I was like, you know, what's he doing here? Most of them were one sack was coverage. The other ones were really on the offensive line. There was one time where he could have had Sony Michel out of the backfield, but I think Tom couldn't see him over the tackle and things like that.
But you agree he held the ball more in this game?
He did a little bit. It just because they were running a lot of deep routes for whatever reason.
Further evidence that the game plan stunk.
Yes, you could say that because I don't know what they were doing. I mean, 31 passes in the first half? Is that a joke? I mean, and the other thing is, we all know the offensive line is struggling a little bit. The last thing in the world that you want to do is have them pass block on every single down.
Oh,
and the defense doesn't have to think about anything. And, you know, and then they mixed in the hurry up. So all of a sudden you have Marshall Newhouse, who was on the street like, 3 weeks ago, was huffing and puffing trying to get up to the line, and then he's trying to get into his pass block set every time. It's a recipe for disaster, which is what the first half was, and then they finally got back to it with underneath center and running the ball and, you know, whams and things like that, and all of a sudden Sony Michel had 10-foot holes to run through in the second half.
But just not coincidentally, him taking those sacks does help the completion percentage and does help the quarterback rating.
I would say that about Aaron Rodgers. I would not say that about Tom Brady.
So quarterbacks do think about it.
I know Aaron Rodgers does. That guy knows his passer rating like off the top of his head. I've never heard Tom Brady talk about that stuff. So until he does, I'm going to give him the benefit.
He gets Jim Gray to do it.
Yeah.
Jim Gray will ask the questions. Tom says, no, it's not about
that email, Tom.
It's not about the numbers, Jim. It's about the team wins, and it's a team sport. So anyway, Mike and Danvers, what do you got for us?
Hey, how you guys doing? I just wanted to say real quick, it's been reported in the past that Bill will sometimes use these kind of games to kind of pull out some of the old plays that he has in the book just to see how they work and if the team is still up to date on them and doing properly. So I'm not too worried about that part of it. The second thing with Gronkowski and this new analyst job, not to say that I have the greatest sources in the world, but I hear through the grapevine that Gronkowski is not happy, that Brady is not happy, and he's considering coming back before the season's over. So I just like to get your guys' opinion on all that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a pipe dream.
Well, I mean, they cannot afford somebody from the outside and Rob Gronkowski. I mean, unless it's like Tyler Eifert. But anybody, Manny Sanders, anybody else, anybody substantial, they cannot afford Gronk and him.
Let me get another cocktail napkin
for you,
Greg.
Yeah, you just cut everybody and
I'll find
everything.
I'll find you some more room if you need it. I think Gronkowski is a possibility for next year.
Yeah.
Or future years. I'd be stunned if at this point he's coming back now. He just took this job. He's going to give it a couple weeks. And so if you give it a couple weeks, now you're into November, call it. What, he's going to quit Fox after 2-3 games and ramp back up to be ready for it? No! No! Give it up! It's not happening.
I feel like fans are in a lot of ways living in fantasy land on this thing. Now, look, unless Gronk did some sort of major acting job at that CBD press conference that he did, because he looked to me like a guy that was having serious emotional and psychological problems as a result of his injuries. And then he's finally feeling better, and now he's going to, if he goes back on the field, I'll say it now just so we're consistent, it's stupid. That's a bad move. Bad move.
For him.
Yes. Yeah. Personally, bad move.
And I don't know if you guys caught this, because they have a pretty strong paywall, but the week of the Bills-Patriots game, Vic Carucci did an interview with Gronk. And in those comments, he was really strong about, it sounded like he was done, at least for this year. I mean, it was the most definitive comments that we've heard so far. I would be shocked if he comes back.
Right, and he's going to want to get paid. And is Bill going to pan, you know, like Robert, you know, that's the one thing that Bill.
He's not a special teamer, so.
So there we go. That's what I want to hear. Greg, do they spend too much money on special teams? You just gave me a little shot there. You gave me just a
little. This isn't new. Everybody's heard me railing against, you know, the number of core special teamers that they keep compared to other teams.
And, everyone may have heard it, Craig, but our audience changes every 20 minutes. So the point is that if they are in a cap crunch at the moment, let me rephrase, if they're in a fiscal crunch at the moment, whether it's real dollars, cap dollars, or both, that is of their own doing. Like, they mismanaged something, not the least of which is Antonio Brown. If they had to cut Ben Watson so that they could create cap space to make a deal to improve their pass catchers, whether it's receiver or tight end, it all goes back to the fact that Antonio Brown cost them three players.
And it's so when you look at their dead money, so Antonio Brown, 575 right now. Never mind Adrian Claiborne at 2. Demaryius Thomas at 1.8. I didn't realize he's costing you 1.8 against your cap. That was a costly, you know, if they're this tight, then that's a costly move.
Sure it is.
How about the Rex Burkhead contract that they gave him? I mean, he's hurt again.
At least he's on the field. Maybe not. Yeah. Right. I mean, so like there's a bunch of stuff in the middle of their payroll that you just go, huh?
They gave Rex Burkhead, after like a half a season of football, a 3-year, $10 million contract.
I mean, I like the player, but you can't find that elsewhere for nothing?
At running back?
Right,
your
exactly.
Your favorite position?
Exactly.
That's why Damian Harris is here, right?
Should be
maybe?
Right, it should be cheap. Damian Harris should be doing that for rookie dollars. It's a fair point. Speaking of that, real quick, Chris in Rhode Island. Well, I'm all jammed up. Jimmy, would you pop him up real quick? Line 2, Chris in Rhode Island, go.
Greg.
Yo.
My question to you is, when is he going to see the field? I mean, he's like he's in the witness protection plan.
Harris we're talking about?
Yes, Damian Harris. Thanks,
exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I mean,
this one's starting to drive me crazy.
I mean, especially this weekend. I mean, what they were down to like three running. I thought they were going to send, it was like they sent Tom Brady out there with like a flying gas can or something. Like, it's just like all the spare parts were gone. They're like, you have two tight ends who can't stay healthy. You have three running backs. You have Dorsett taps out in like the first quarter. It was like, I mean, could they give Tom Brady any less to use this past weekend? Just activate Damian Harris. Like, it's the Redskins. Like, just get him out there. Let him run around, prance, whatever he's going to do. I don't understand it. Now, he did miss time in training camp. Another kid who every time he hit the field, he got hurt, and then he was out for 2 days. So he missed a lot in training camp. He's behind, but he's a first and second down back. Like, just say, all right, just go this way. Like, and just see what he can do. I mean, I don't know.
And they have really nothing at tight end, and just a few picks after him is that Dawson Knox, who's pretty good with the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
So another guy that they missed out on. Like, I just, why draft him if he's not going to play? And I keep, well, James White barely played the first year he got drafted, too. Well, I don't know. You don't have the depth that you thought you did at running back. The kid looked pretty good in the preseason. He breaks tackles, or at least he did at Alabama, and he did in the preseason, but he just keeps getting a healthy scratch week after week. I hate it.
Yeah, I just don't see that argument from some Patriots fans just applying here because, yes, Shane Vereen sat as a rookie. James White sat as a rookie. Yeah, but they were passing backs. There's a lot more that goes on, and the number one thing is, can you protect Tom? And as rookies, that's very difficult. But, you know, look, Sony Michel played last year as a rookie. You know, right. It's just those first two down guys, that's where they start. If you're a runner first, they start you there, and you should be able to pick that up pretty quickly. It's not that complicated.
We continue with Bedard. Also next hour, 10 questions as well. No commercials here, just an update from Murray, and we're right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.